Okay, Parshas Chayesara begins. Vayu Chayesara me'ashana ve'esrim shana ve'sheva shanim shnei Chayesara. And Rashi cites the Medrash that kulam shavim letova, that each segment of Sarah's life was similar. They were all equal, and they were all equal in a goodness. Now, what does Rashi add in the process? How are you deemed to be equal in their totality? So Rav Amital Zatzal explained that a person must adapt his ways to the period in which he lives. He must not ignore what's around him and the processes going on the outside. Similarly, we find that the shkalim that we used to purchase the karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash were raised each year fresh. The money from last year couldn't be used for this year's karbanos because every year is different. And our conduct similarly must be up to date and suited to fit the times. And that was perhaps the intention of the repeat Shnei Chayei Sarah. By noting that Sarah remained consistent, we see that while she adapted to the times, while she was able to adapt, she stayed internally consistent in the process. And Jews, of course, as we go through history, have to be able to do the same. After Avram buries Sarah, we're told that Avram zaken baba yamim, and the commentaries note the juxtaposition between the establishment of Avram Avinu's age and the sending of Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak. Why? So Kli Yakar suggests that the age is the reason why Avram Avinu didn't undertake the sacred mission by himself. But Rav Shimshon David Pinkus Atzal adds that Avram was the one who davened to Hashem to create the old age experience in the first place. Avram holy this Yitzchak, take a look at Rashi in next week's Sedra, and he asked for old age in order to distinguish between himself and Yitzchak. He was, therefore, the first old man. And thus, says Rav Pinkus, the founder of old age was busy with regulating the path of gentrification, and therefore could not take the time to find a wife for Yitzchak. Simna yotcha tachas yirechi. So he asks Eliezer to place his hand under my thigh. And the Gemara in Shavua Sandaf Lamed Ches Amid Beis notes that for strong oaths for a Shavua Chamura that are biblical in nature, the Shavua has to be taken by holding a chefetz of significance. And Rabbi Leib Steinman Shalita asks why the bris is such a chefetz if, after all, unlike a talis or a pair of tefillin, which are normally types of chafatz and types of items that are held to give power to the shvua, those things are going to be used again in the mitzvah performance. But when it comes to the bris, once the bris is done, the place is no longer significant. Why have Avram Avinu, why to have Eliezer hold that spot? And he answers that since Mila stays with a person for the rest of his life, it's considered sacred all the time. And that's why the Gemara in Menachos notes that David HaMelech was aware of Hashem's presence even in the mikveh, because he was aware of his bris milah. Ve'kach misham isha libni liYitzchak. Avram Avinu tells Eliezer to take a wife from there. Question has to be raised, why did Avram insist on the long trip to search for a wife? Avram was able to live with the families of Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. Why not find a girl from the families of Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre in order to be able to find a wife? Why not from Eliezer, who was the Dola Omashke Mitoras Rabbo, who was the primary disciple and the teacher's assistant to Avram Avinu, says the Gemara in Yuman, Daf Chavches Amid Beis? What was the great contribution of the bandits, Besuel and Lavan? So Shaul Yisraeli Zatzal explains that when it comes to building a relationship, it isn't the externals that make the difference. It's not knowing where you come from that carries the weight, in as much as it does not impact you positively. In other words, Avram Avinu knew that the best source of a wife for Yitzchak would be the one whose educational philosophy was not Aror, that had the basic element of Chesed at its core. And unfortunately, the land of Canaan did not have Chesed at its core. And so therefore, girls who grew up in that environment didn't value the Midah of Chesed. And so therefore, Eliezer was sent to go look elsewhere. And he taka tests Rivka. And she passes a test of Chesed to show that she indeed is of a higher Madrega. And so she declares that within the test, V'hayoha na'ara sha'omar ilah atinah kadech v'eshteh, she's going to say drink, and also I'll give you camels to drink. And that's the wife. That's the wife that you set aside for Yitzchak. So the Magen Avraham asks, why is this not a violation of the principle that a person's not allowed to eat until he gives his animal something to eat? After all, the Pasuk says, "Benasati Esa Besadcha Livhem Techa," says the Gemara in Brachos, "V'achalta Besavata." First, you give the food to your behema, and then thereafter you eat. So then the Magen Avraham asks the question, why is this not a violation if she's going to give Eliezer first and then give the camels? So the Magen Avraham answers that there must be a difference between food and drink. Rabbi Rav Shechter would often remind us that he thought he had a different answer based on something he heard from Rabbi Soloveitchik. He used to tell us that Rabbi Soloveitchik would make a chilek between those people who are eating at home, where taki, you're not allowed to sit down to eat until you feed your animals, versus when you're a guest in a home. When a person's in his home, he has to feed his animals first. Since there's a klal yadua that a human being has the capacity to be a chote, but the animal is not a chote, so the one that has more going his way is the animal. But when you bring a guest into your home, you don't have a right to accuse the guest of being lower than an animal. And so therefore, you can't feed him on a lower level than the animal by feeding the animal first. And so that was Rivka's understanding as well. When Eliezer said, this is not just a test of chesed, it's a test of chesed with seichel. Does she understand that when she has a guest, that the guest is not to be treated in a lower status? When Eliezer finally identifies himself, he says, Eved Avram Anochi, and the Tiferet Shlomo of Radomsk explains that a person must always be aware of his lowly station in life, lest he become too haughty. And the fact of the matter is that this is why higher levels of the Beis Hamikdash, the Gagos, the Aliyos, Lo Niskatshu, the high areas lack that shiftless, and therefore as such can't be holy. That's why the upper levels don't have the same ability and capacity for Kedusha. Rabbi Baruch Simon Shalita would often add that the entire uniqueness and greatness of Eliezer doesn't come from his own station or his own title. What he was telling Rivka and Lavan and the family was from his awareness of his goodness of fit. He was Eved Avram, and therefore Avraj, that was a status in of itself. After all, we know Moshe Rabbeinu pines for the title of Eved Hashem. Yoshua pines for it. His whole entire life, he's known as Mesharis Moshe. And then finally, when he passes away, he too gets identified as Eved Hashem. Sometimes knowing who you are and that you have shiftless inside yourself, that's the greatest godless that can be stated. At the end of the parasha, we're told, Eli Yimei Shnei Chaye Avram Asher Chai. These are the days of the years of Avram that he lived. And it's interesting to note that we find the double language, Yimei Shnei, by the Avos, and by Yishmael, it only says Shnei Echai Yishmael. It doesn't say that it was the Yimei Shnei. Why is there a difference? So the Gaya Masechta explains that for a tzaddik who dedicates his entire life to Hashem, it's not only the years that make a difference, but it's every moment of the days that make up the years that are a dedication to Hashem. Yishmael, like other Rishayim who made new mitzvahs during their years on earth, right? Those are years. But for tzaddikim live a mitzvah-filled life on top of the life as well. And so for a tzaddik, it's not just the chaye, it's the yemei shnei chaye. Every day makes up is significant. The days come together to make up years that are significant. The years come together to make a whole life that's significant. And therefore it's mei ashana ba'esrim shana v'sheva shanim as well, by the way, putting the pieces together. Finally, this week we'll learn in the Haftorah about David HaMelech's rebellion from Adonio ben Chagis. And the Psukim tell us, Adonio ben Chagis, misnase limor, ani emloch. Adonio ben Chagis raised himself up saying that he's going to rule. What exactly did Adonio think that when he thought that he was going to be able to take over while David HaMelech was still alive? Fine, he thought he had rights to the Yerusha afterwards, but while he's still alive? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal explains that the process of succession and royalty is not determined merely by the rules of Yerusha. For if it were, the Bechor would automatically take over. Right? The fact of the matter is that if everything was Yerusha, every Ben Melech, every Bechor Ben Melech would automatically succeed. Rather, the rules of rulership require a sound mind. And Adoniel thought that David HaMelech was no longer capable of ruling over the people, and thus he prepared to fill the ruling seat until David HaMelech died, when I guess, if necessary, Shlomo HaMelech would take over. Avram also, right, passed the kingship of the Jewish nation over to Yitzchak, even though, technically speaking, he lived for another 35 years. But once Yitzchak married, Rivka moved into the Oel of Sarai Imenu, the White House, if I may, and assumed the leadership mantle. And so the fact of the matter is, sometimes it's possible that even while the previous generation is around, that there's a need for additional rulership. This is not a Yerusha issue, this is an issue of handling how we go ahead and we handle our ruling situations. Speaking of rulership, Am Yisrael always needs to have its leaders. And amidst Hashem, we should continue to thrive from good ones and give us all not only a Shabbat Shalom, but a Chaim Tovim V'Aruchim Lavodaso Yisbarach Shemo Shabbat Shalom to all.